Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Jeffrey Parker's Global Crisis War, Climate Change, and Catastrophe in the 17th Century is a major work of history that examines the worldwide upheavals of the mid-17th century. It belongs to early modern, global, and environmental history, and it argues that many of the era's revolutions, famines, invasions, civil wars, and state breakdowns were connected by a larger climatic shock. Parker's central concern is not simply to list disasters, but to explain why so many regions experienced crisis at roughly the same time. He combines political narrative with climate evidence to show how colder winters, wetter summers, failed harvests, hunger, disease, and instability reinforced one another across continents. The book is especially notable for linking human events to the Little Ice Age and for treating climate as a historical force with social and political consequences. It is both a reconstruction of 17th century catastrophe and a cautionary study of how environmental stress can magnify human vulnerability. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a global general crisis rather than isolated regional troubles. Parker's first major contribution is his treatment of the 17th century as a connected global crisis, not a collection of unrelated national emergencies. He ranges from Europe to Asia, Africa, and the Americas to show that revolutions, rebellions, civil wars, invasions, and state failures were occurring with striking simultaneity. This comparative frame matters because it challenges older histories that explained each turmoil separately through local politics alone. Parker does not deny the importance of rulers, armies, and institutions, but he argues that these factors operated inside a broader world of shared stress. By assembling examples from many regions, he suggests that the scale of the upheaval cannot be understood if each episode is studied in isolation. The result is a history of interlocking disorder, where crisis is measured by its reach as much as by its intensity. This global perspective is one of the book's defining strengths because it turns a period often discussed in regional terms into a coordinated historical problem with common causes and similar outcomes. Secondly, climate change as a historical driver of crop failure and mortality. The book's most distinctive argument is that climate change, especially the cooling of the Little Ice Age, helped trigger the 17th century breakdown. Parker focuses on longer winters, cooler and wetter summers, and unstable weather patterns that shortened growing seasons and damaged harvests. These shifts did not cause political conflict directly, but they created the material conditions in which societies became more fragile. Poor harvests led to hunger, hunger-weakened populations, and weakened populations became more vulnerable to disease and social unrest. Parker uses this chain of consequences to explain why environmental change can produce large-scale human catastrophe without acting as a single, simple cause. His analysis is important because it treats climate as more than background setting. It becomes an active historical pressure, shaping demography, food supply, and governance. The argument is also carefully layered, since he links weather trends to social breakdown rather than claiming climate alone determined events. That balance gives the book both explanatory force and analytical caution. Thirdly, human archives and natural archives working together. Another key feature of the book is Parker's method. He combines eyewitness testimony, political records, and social evidence with scientific climate data such as tree rings, glacier records, and reconstructed weather patterns. This interdisciplinary method is central to the book because it allows him to connect lived experience with environmental history. The human sources show how contemporaries described hunger, cold, crop loss, war, and disorder. The natural evidence helps establish that unusual climate conditions were widespread and persistent. By bringing these archives together, Parker strengthens the argument that climate was not a speculative backdrop, but a measurable historical reality. The method also has broader significance for historical scholarship, since it models how historians can work with scientific findings without abandoning narrative or interpretation. The book is therefore not just about 17th century suffering, but about how historical knowledge itself can be built from multiple kinds of evidence. That methodological integration is one reason the book has had such a strong impact in both history and climate history discussions. Fourthly, the chain reaction from environmental stress to political collapse. Parker does not present the 17th century crisis as a simple story of bad weather. Instead, he traces a chain reaction in which environmental stress worsened food shortages, which then increased disease, mortality, social tension, and state vulnerability. In his account, bad harvests are not merely agricultural events. They become political events because they strain taxes, supply systems, military logistics, and public order. This is why the book can move from climate to rebellion, from famine to war, and from scarcity to regime collapse without treating those shifts as abrupt leaps. The logic is cumulative. Societies already under pressure were less able to absorb shocks, and once instability began, violence and repression often made recovery harder. Parker's analysis is valuable, because it shows how ecological stress can amplify existing conflicts rather than replace them. That makes the book relevant beyond the 17th century. Since it offers a historical model of cascade effects, one crisis deepens another until local disruptions become systemic breakdown. The explanatory power of the book comes from this dynamic, interconnected view of causation. Lastly, why the 17th century matters for modern climate anxiety. The book is also a warning about the present. Parker repeatedly suggests that the 17th century offers a historical case study of how climate stress can destabilize societies on a very large scale. That does not mean modern conditions are identical to those of the past, but it does mean that climate change can have consequences that extend far beyond weather itself. The book is therefore intellectually useful for readers interested in resilience, governance, and the limits of social adaptation under environmental pressure. It helps explain why climate history matters to contemporary debates. It provides a long view of how environmental change interacts with inequality, war, migration, food systems, and political legitimacy. This contemporary relevance distinguishes the book from narrower event history, because it is both a reconstruction of the past and an argument about vulnerability in general. Readers looking for a direct lesson will find one, but the book is strongest when it uses the 17th century to deepen understanding rather than offer easy prediction. Its warning is sober, historical, and grounded in evidence. In conclusion, Global Crisis should be read by students and scholars of history, environmental history, climate studies, and early modern politics, but it is also valuable for general readers who want a serious account of how climate change can shape human societies. Its main benefit is not simply that it describes 17th century disasters, but that it explains how multiple kinds of crisis can converge into a worldwide pattern of instability. Readers will come away with a clearer sense of how famine, disease, warfare, rebellion, and state weakness can intensify one another when environmental conditions deteriorate. The book also rewards readers interested in historical method, because Parker shows how to combine documentary evidence with climate science in a persuasive way. What sets it apart from similar books is its scale and synthesis. Many histories examine one region, one war, or one form of catastrophe. Parker instead builds a global argument that links climate, society, and politics across continents. That breadth, combined with rigorous research, makes the book both distinctive and influential in its field. If you would like to support Jeffrey Parker, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.